Welcome back to Musings of a Book Collector. This is episode number 8 in our special episodes devoted to the Svarim and controversies of Masechtas Chulin. As I've said before, feedback of any type is appreciated, as sponsorships are also available. Now, we began, already back in the first episode, to discuss the first few words of the first Taisis in Masechtas Chulin, where he brings down something known as the Hilchas Eretz Yisrael, and we try to identify it. What is that referring to? What is the Hilchas Eretz Yisrael? Which led us down to a conversation of the possibility it's Eldar Adani, a sefer called Eldar Adani, or the story of Eldar Adani, and its relationship with Shechita and Treifus. From there, we sidetracked into all different other areas, getting to early works of Gaonim. And now, I promised already in the beginning that I'm going to get back to this actual Taisis and to the actual discussion, you say the actual meat of the Taisis, so to speak, and that is as follows. Taisis says, the first few words of Taisis is, Kasev Hilchas Eretz Yisrael, Denashim lo yishchetu. In this work, Hilchas Eretz Yisrael, it says, women should not shecht. Why? Mimnei shadaiton kalis. So, basically, we cannot rely on their shechita. Bottom line is, Taisis brings a Gemara from a diuk from a Gemara in Zvachim that women could shecht, and the conclusion of Taisis is nashim shechtos lechatchila. They can shecht lechatchila. Not like whatever this is, Hilchas Eretz Yisrael, and as far as we know, Eldar Adani, it holds like that also. The Chibur of Eldar Adani holds like that. Now, we already brought, very briefly, is that the Mardechai and the Rush, they specifically go like Taisis. And they say, just to quote the Rush, he brings Hilchas Eretz Yisrael, it says, Nashim, Laishul, Nesha, Daitin, Kalais, Ve'ein, Hashash, Shalano, Savarkain. And then he says, the Rush says, actually, Oisech Chacham, Shekasef Hilchas Eretz Yisrael, Kasef Chumrutz Midaitoin. It's Chumrutz himself. And then he goes on another aspect that's brought down from this Hilchas Eretz Yisrael, and he says a similar type of thing. The Mardechai goes with a similar type of Lashon, and pretty much, if one looks in the early, in the Rishayim, it seems that the Rishayim hold, it's not a problem, women could shecht like this Taisis. The Rambam, I believe, the Itur holds like this also, and that seems to be the standard psak of the Rishayim. So now the question is, is that always the case? We can say, does it change at any point in time? Okay, so like always, the first thing one does, you're learning halacha, so you open up your regular Shulchan Aruch, so right away, your Deis Siman Aleph, we find that the Mechaber, Rabbi Yosef Cairo, is codifying the halachas. He says, "Akol shecht lechatchila afilu nashim." Straight up, women can shecht. It's lechatchila here. It says clearly. All of a sudden, you see, you start looking carefully. We know we have the Rama. The Rama, Ashkenaz, Poland, halachas. He codifies it, and his Haggah says, "Yesh ayrim she'ein laniach nashim lishchait, shekfar nagu shaloi lishchait, v'chein haminig she'ein hanashim shechtais." That women, and that's already the accepted meaning, women do not shecht. Now, so point number one is that both of these works, the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama, do not give you sources so much. Now, why they reach that conclusion? But the Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Cairo, we understand where he got it from. We just saw Taisis, the Mardechai, Rush, the Rambam, the Itur, Rami Rutenberg also holds like that, and others. So the question is, when the Rama says this, that the minig is not to, where is he getting his source from? So there's a parenthesis, right away it says, Beis Yosef v'shem ha'agur. Okay, now, there is a question, and that question is a very important question, and that is, who wrote these sources on the side of the Rama? Now, some people assume it's him, and the answer is, it's definitely not the Rama. Now, but what happens when one opens up the Beis Yosef over here? The Beis Yosef does bring down an Agur, and the Agur So first, when you look in the Beis Yosef, he says Taisus, okay? And then he says in the Agur, Af Alpi, Shedas HaPaiskin Kain, HaMinig B'chol Golos Yisrael, Shelo Yishchitu. The Minig everywhere is not Teshecht. Mu'aylam, Lai Ra'isi, Noig Lishchit. Says the Agur, I never saw women shechting. L'chein Ein La'nichem Lishchit. We don't allow them to shecht. Ki aminig mevatal halacha, uminig aveisenu tairihi. Famous words, that's the minig. We don't let them shecht. Says the Beis Yosef, yeah, that's what you say. Ani yomer shim haya oimer shahaya raitzis lishchait v'lohi nichon haya efsha loimer shihi rayach rayasai loy ra'inu eino rayam. If he would say that from that he says that he says that he didn't see, that doesn't mean anything. Because the Beis Yosef could say, what do you mean? Look, in where I traveled, they did shecht. Anyway, this is what the Beis Yosef says. So he's basically bringing down the Agur. He's aware of this source of the Agur, but he does not come to such a conclusion. Now, so when one reads the parentheses of the Ramah, one is under the impression that the Beis Yosef is the source of the Ramah for the Agur, and it says in the Agur this thing, and the Beis Yosef is dismissing it. Okay, now, so the question is, in general, and this is a very important question, and that is the main and that is what I hope to deal with right in the next few minutes. And that is, what's going on over here? What is this work, the Agur? And in general, what is the Beis Yosef's yachas to this work? And what is the Ramah's yachas to this work? Now, so first of all, the question always is the as I said, the Ramah in this parenthesis, what does the Ramah say? He says, the Beis Yosef brings from the Agur. Does the Ramah own an Agur? Is Ramah's knowledge of materials from the Agur coming from secondary sources / Beis Yosef or himself? So, okay. So in general, today with Zaycha, we want to find out, or at least attempt to, in many cases, find out what the reasoning for the Ramah is. One should not rely on the parentheses found in the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch. One should open up the Darkei Moshe, not the Darkei Moshe, what's called the shorter Darkei Moshe that's found a lot of times in editions of the Torah, but what's called the Darkei Moshe HaAruch. That is the standard, that is what the original materials of the Ramah, actually it's not the originals, we don't even know what the originals of the Ramah look like, but the story goes like this. And we'll elaborate on it a little more in the course of today and maybe other times. Basically, it's like this. And this will play out with the Agur, and this will play out with our story. And the story goes like this. In the Beis Yosef, for whatever reasons, which he lists out very carefully in his incredible introductions, set out to put together the halachas. He puts out a work called the Beis Yosef, font, and he has a gathering of information from a vast amount of sources, font. The Ramah also sets out, without either one of them, are not aware of the other one at that time, and the Ramah is setting out to put out some work, a halachic work, on Shulchan Aruch. Now, the Ramah began, I'm pretty sure, with Yeridaya. I don't recall what the Beis Yosef began with. Anyway, at some point in the middle of the project, the Ramah, someone, I guess, brings him, look what just came out. Rabbi Yosef Cairo put out this massive work, and the Ramah looks at it, and even from his Lashonis, this is not even historical speculation, from the Lashonis that he writes in his Darkei Moshe Nahagdama, you could see that he was broken. What does it mean he was broken? It means is that he was, all of a sudden, he's working on this project for X amount of time, and he sees that there's no point in his project anymore because the Beis Yosef did a great job. And it seems like he was at loss what to do, and this happens sometimes to authors or people working on bigger projects, smaller projects, what do you do? And all of a sudden, at a certain point in time, the Ramah realized that there's still material for him to incorporate, add, and or maybe correct, whatever you want, all the different words that you want to use, to improve, I guess that would be even a good word, the work of Rabbi Yosef Cairo and the Beis Yosef. Of note, he notes that the overwhelming amount of materials, or the conclusions necessary, even more, do not give enough credit to the Ashkenazi / Polish Messiah. So therefore, he feels that at least for that alone is an important addition that he feels he needs to add in to the story. So therefore, he feels he needs to add in materials, and he even lists out most notably a work known as the Maril. And there are other works that he feels needs to add in. Some he lists out in his incredible introduction, which, as an aside, it's incredible is that we're able to know a lot about the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, how they wrote their works and why they wrote their works, and even some of their methods and how they wrote their works, because they both wrote introductions. And that's a very important thing, is that one has to study those introductions, because they say what they mean, what their goals are, what they're trying to do. And even though there might be some questions that are not answered or not answered enough, but there's still important information once one sets out to learn halacha if one learns these introductions. The Yam Shel Shleima, also a contemporary of theirs, also set out and wrote out a few introductions where he also explains his views on a lot of these matters. And these three introductions are extremely important, because this is basically the beginning of print halacha, although there might be some materials before and not too much, but this is where it all begins as far as the world of print and halacha. Now, so basically is the Ramah tells us that he's going to add in materials from the Maril, which is very interesting, and it turns out the Beis Yosef does not have Maril from a first-hand source, and even where he has it, he doesn't have it all that much. It's from secondary sources, and we'll see one of the sources for that, for the Beis Yosef in the Maril shortly. Now, but then continuing on is one of the sources that he adds in, that he feels that he needs to, that he's using, is a work known as the Agur. That's what the Rama says. Now, that is very interesting, because when one goes to the Beis Yosef's Hagdama, he tells us something very interesting. His Lashon, let me just quote the exact Lashon. Someone's going to say you can rely on different Kitzurim, Kitzur Halachasvar, smacked, and he lists out the Agur and the Kolboy. So he says like this, if you are going to rely on these three kitzur halacha svarim, you're not going to be able to know what halacha is. And then he says, and you need to figure it out. And he is not, to put it mildly, fond of the work, the Agur. So, interesting is that the Ramah is more fond of the Agur, and we'll try to understand why that is so. And the Beis Yosef, in general, and the Beis Yosef is not a he's outright in the beginning of his work, he's criticizing three works. One is the Smak, the Agur, and the Kolbei. And especially he singles out the Agur. Why is that so? Because there's a lot of steers in his thing, and it's unclear, etc., etc. So if one wants to learn halacha, which was the way people learned halacha, which was you got a hold of the best kitzer sefer that had collected the most amount of data up till that period of time, and says the Beis Yosef, stay away from the work the Agur, it's not reliable. Okay. So now, back to our question is, so the Ramah, clearly, he feels that there's, so in this case, it's not so much the Agur, by the Maril, I'm claiming the Beis Yosef doesn't have the Maril, which is true, but the Agur, the Beis Yosef is outright dismissing it, and the Ramah is not dismissing it. Here is a practical situation where the Beis Yosef is passing like the Rishonim. And here, the Ashkenazi person cannot say, oh, the Beis Yosef is not giving representation of Tosis, the Mordechai, Rami, Ruttemberg, and Rosh, because they also conclude, just like the Rambam, that women could shecht, which is also, furthermore, Pashup Shat, in the way the Gemaras conclude, that l'chatchila women could shecht. All of a sudden, the Agur comes and says what he says, that women cannot shecht. And the Ramah goes like that. So we're seeing something very fascinating. What we're seeing is that at some point in time, for some reason, there's a shift. Rishayim, and based on a Gemara, say clearly one woman can shecht, and the Agur is coming himself, so to speak, and saying, no, they can't. And the Ramah is accepting that Agur. Now, what's interesting is, I said, back to the Darkei Moshe. So you open up your Darkei Moshe and Yoredeya. Now, a fascinating piece of information about the Darkei Moshe and Yoredeya, and that is, the Darkei Moshe and Yoredeya, you would think, the Ramah, first of all, the Ramah, a few pieces of fascinating information, actually. Number one is, the Ramah does not get to see almost most of his work on Shulchan Aruch published in his lifetime. That's fact number one. Number two is, you would think whenever they decide to publish the Ramah, which pretty much happens right after he dies, they would print the work that's going to help one understand the Ramah. What is that work? The Darkei Moshe. Instead, it remains a manuscript. People did have it, such as the Shach, the Taz, they had access to Darkei Moshe in manuscript. But the first time the Darkei Moshe in manuscript is published on Yoredeya is in 1692. So that means is, well over 100 years, the Ramah is being studied by most people. They don't really understand, necessarily know the Ramah. So therefore, if one wants to discuss this question, what's the Ramah? It's Yachas or the Agur. So they'll look and decide. In this, open up your Shulchan Aruch, and it says, the Beis Hashem the Agur, you wouldn't even know that the Ramah is based on the Agur. You would say he's based on the Beis Yosef and the Agur. You say, you wouldn't even know the Ramah cares so much about the Agur. And he's based on secondary sources, and in fact, that's completely not true. Okay. Now, but more than that is, before we understand why the Ramah goes with this Agur, the point is, when you look in the Darkei Moshe, in 1692, you finally get the Darkei Moshe, it's published. So you open it up, and you see something very interesting. You're already biased. You already know from me that I said that the Agur, the Ramah likes the Agur and uses the Agur and has the Agur. But over here, Taka, what's the, when one opens up the Darkei Moshe, he'll see that the Beis, he sees Nashim, Taisus, Mordechai, Rosh. Then he says Agur. He brings the Lashon. And then he says it was safe for Beis Yosef. And he brings down what the Beis Yosef says on this. Okay, and then he brings down what the Beis Yosef says about the Kolbay also, fine. So one would think, like the parentheses in the Shulchan Aruch already, that the Ramah's source, he doesn't even have an Agur. He's getting it from the Beis Yosef, which is fascinating because he paskins like this Agur, and this Agur is not the main shita, as it's going against the Masorah of Ashkenaz, the Rishayim, which is very important for the Ramah, and Rambam, etc. So it's actually very, very interesting. Okay, so now the truth is, we have to backtrack and to understand this work, the Agur, and perhaps understand what is going on over here, what is the Ramah like from him, what is the Beis Yosef not like, and why the Ramah, in the end, in general, accepts augurs and uses augurs a lot, and Beis Yosef, we'll see, does not. Okay, so the answer is like this. We have to go take a dive into the work of the augur. So the augur is one of the first, it's actually, I believe, the first work published by the author in his lifetime. So it's a bibliographical type of, for people that like bibliography, that's an interesting piece of information. We do not know when he is born and when he dies. Okay, so now we're stuck. How could we figure out information about him and what if he's important or not? So the answer is, number one, we're able to find times that he's active and date that, and from that, so we know he's active in this period of time, and then through other pieces of information, we are able to figure out some other things about him that will help us. We find him in 1486 in Italy working as a proofreader in a publishing house. Fine, and he's involved with the publishing of his own work. Fine, that's in 1486. One of the works that he works on is publishing the Tehillim with the Radak, and in the introduction over there, he explains why it's not the greatest job, because we didn't have, this is the really in the beginning of printing press, and the beginning of printing Bechlal, we didn't have great materials what we were using, so it's not the greatest job. Okay, that's not exactly a good advertising thing if you want to read that carefully. His son actually continues working in editing and proofreading and stuff like that. Fine. So we don't know when he's born and when he dies, but we have him being active in 1486. Now, in 1480, we have a work of his published called the Sefer Chazayin. Sefer Chazayin is a fascinating work. It's one of the first that we know in published literature of its riddles. And what that means is, like this, a lot of times, and this actually plays out, it's very important if one is learning Yerideya especially. So you learn the sugyas, and you know the klalim, but how does one know? Let's say someone wants to give a test on a boy or a future rav on to see that he really knows Basur Chalav Teruah Semalicha. So you so if you're going to say, okay, he knows the data, he could spit back to you the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, everything, but the best way is you come up with cases, a case. Now, a regular Rav could tell you in a few days, he could give you a list of all the questions that he's asked in Basur Chalav Teruah Semalicha, and you could use that as a question. But sometimes you want to like really show, so you come up with all types of questions to help one to show their usage of the information that they studied in Shulchan Aruch. So this is such a work. He has all types of questions, and that's what I call it, riddles, and there's a whole genre of this type of literature. So he publishes in 1480. So we see him active already then. Now, we find him being active. He knows the Marik, and what's important is like this. He's a student of his father. His father was a Talmud of the Maril, which is a very important piece of information. And his father had to do with the Trumas HaDeshen, the Marik, others, and his father were able to date dies in 1469. Okay, so that's already helping us. His father-in-law was also a Rav, so that gives us also some information. But key factors over here is that his father is a Talmud of the Maril. Now, his father was not some, okay, he was a Rav, whatever. His son writes about the father. Let me see, the Agar writes when he's talking about his father, he says that my father taught thousands of Talmidim, which is a fascinating thing. And even if he's exaggerating, he definitely taught a lot of people, it would sound like. Okay. And I have no reason to assume he's exaggerating. Okay. Now, in general, when one wants to know information about the Agur, so there was an edition published in 1960 with an introduction and footnotes from Ramesha Hirschler, which makes the work, it opens up the work, because if you look at the work beforehand, it's a mess. Here, he claims to have used the earliest editions, and he's publishing it for the first time with footnotes, and the footnotes are definitely very, very valuable, and the introduction is also very, very nice. However, it's not, he might have even had, it might be that there are some manuscripts that he might have used, I'm not sure. It sounds like from his introduction that he does claim to have looked at manuscripts, but I'm not sure how much it plays out in the Sefer, and really if there really are that many. But basically, Rav Hirschler publishes this work, and we owe him a great Hakar Sataiv for making this important work, because if one wants to understand, even if you don't go with the Psak, let's say like the Beis Yosef, but it helps understanding a lot of things, such as our case, as we'll see. Now, in his Agdama, the Agur gives us insight what he's trying to do. Now, he lists out different reasons why he decided to put this down on paper, so to speak, and one of the things is, he says he's using information from the Arzarua, Shibali HaLeket, Arajra, the Rekech, and others. Now, in his work, we see that he's actually attempting, how is he Machriya or not? He tries to outline that, and I'm not going to go into all that, because that will probably play out with how the Beis Yosef looks at it, or if the Beis Yosef feels that he was successful in what he did. Maybe the Beis Yosef didn't have the Agdama, I'm not sure. But anyway, the point is that he's trying to bring G'dayli Ashkenaz and Tsarfas and how to be Noig. So what happens over here is that this work, and for the Ramah, is the key factor is what it says over here in the third reason about what he's trying to do, which is Psakim from the G'dayli Hadar, the Gadolhat B'dayrei, who was the Maril, and other G'daylim. So here we have an early source, printed source, bringing Messiahs from the Maril. He's a Talmud of his father, and his father, we mentioned, was a Talmud of the Maril, had to do with the Maril, and has Messiahs from his conversation with Trumas HaDeshen and materials like that. So this is a wealth of information just for that. So let's forget about his own 2 cents when he adds in his own 2 cents. But the information that he has from the Maril, this is one of the first places that it is brought down, and there are materials here that there are no other sources that from what we do now have from the Maril elsewhere. So this is an important work just for that alone, and that makes sense. Why? Because the Ramah, as you said, the Maril plays a very important role for the Ramah's project in the world of Halacha. So the Ramah, he's going to be a fan at L'chol Pachos of the materials of the Maril. The Beis Yosef doesn't bring Maril. And it turns out, whenever the Beis Yosef brings Maril, a lot of times this could be via this work. So it's interesting. The Beis Yosef uses this work, but he analyzes it very carefully. Turns out, there are other... this is one of the first works that had Haskama. Besides for being the first work that I said that the author himself printed in his own lifetime, this work has Haskamas. It seems maybe even the second edition was published in his lifetime. And this is a published work that has actually materials of Kabbalah as far as Halacha. So this plays a role in that conversation, which is not for now. But bottom line is that this work, the Ugger, has in it a wealth of information that's not available elsewhere of Marils and this type of materials. So it makes sense why the Ramah is going to care a lot about it, more, and he's going to emphasize it in his Darkei Moshe Hakdama, as opposed to the Beis Yosef, who's going to tell you, I'm very skeptical in the way he brings down materials and what's psak, it's unclear. Okay, now, but it's even more interesting. Many years ago, it's already many years, but the Yerusha Seinu Volume 1 was published from Mechon Meireshes Ashkenaz. And interestingly enough, they had some very nice articles in that volume. One of the articles was an article from Professor Yaakov Spiegel. Yaakov Spiegel, who had been working on he came to the Ugger through a side way, and that was, I mean, he came to for many reasons, but he was working on, and he published the Shibali HaLeket, Haggadah Shel Pesach of the Shibali HaLeket. So that caused him to want to look further into this story of the Ugger, and what he specifically was looking in how the Beis Yosef uses the Ugger, and it was playing out with the story of the Shibali HaLeket. And in general, he used this as a vehicle to go through the story of how the Beis Yosef brings his sources. And it turns out, as much as the Beis Yosef says in this Hakdama, don't rely on this work, the Beis Yosef uses this work a lot. For what? For the library that's in it. And this is a common theme found many times with different Svarim, that even the Beis Yosef, they would use previous generations sometimes because they didn't have the original Makar sometimes, or they had one version of the original Makar, and another Sefer could come around and have another version that they don't have, so they have to use it from secondary sources. And that turns out, so the Beis Yosef uses the Ugger, so the Shibali HaLeket, which is actually also its own fascinating story, and the Shibali HaLeket, what was quoted for the most part, was a Kitzer Shibali HaLeket, and the early Paiskim, some people had a much more complete Shibali HaLeket that was only published by Shlomo Buber much later on, without footnotes, but with a fascinating introduction. Now, it seems the Beis Yosef had manuscript material from the Shibali HaLeket, but some of his materials from the Shibali HaLeket that cannot be found in the Kitzer Shibali HaLeket, which he had, was found where? In through the Ugger. So the Ugger was a vehicle for him also to get materials. So just like the Ramah, for example, is using him, likes him, I'm claiming to tie in because of the Maril aspect, which is very important for the Ramah. So for the Beis Yosef, he ends up, yes, using it, but he's very careful how he uses it. He analyzes it very carefully, and many times he'll come out not like it. But the point is, it's on the significance I'm trying to bring out is this work is a very significant work on the table of both the Shulchan Aruch and of the Ramah in creating their works. So now, coming back to our story of women and Shechita, we're not answering yet our question of what happens, how the Ugger says it, why the Ugger says what he says. But when one opens up the Ugger, we'll see, you could see as follows. He says, Hilcha Shechita, he brings you down, Rabbeinu Baruch, which is from the Mordechai, he brings you the whole thing that we have from Elder Adani, because that's the Mordechai. How the Mordechai doesn't have an Alt Hilchazar Strahd. Mordechai, we said, has an Hilchazar Elder Adani, and then says the Ugger in a passage which is not quoted by the Beis Yosef. Ani Machaber, Choyshe Belibi, Asher Kavanasi Bekachim, Game Chumer Shanigu Bekachim. So first is that we have his own voice, which I said is not always so visible. The Ugger himself talking, so he's being critical to this passage that he just brought down from Elder Adani, that when Elder Adani says this, it's a possibility in Kachem. And it's a chumrah, because why? In the sugya that Taisus uses to prove not like Hilchas Eretz Yisrael, not that women can shecht, is from a sugya in Kachem that they're able to shecht, it says there. So it could be that what he's saying is that if you want to talk about Hilchas from Elder Adani, Elder Adani might only be being a chumrah in Kachem. Okay. Now, then the Ugger brings down the smack that says, Noshim Shechtes La'atzman Im Yoy Das Hilchas Shechita. Now, this is a whole different conversation, which we'll get to, Amir Tzashem, but the Beis Yosef disagrees with that. Then he says, he's aware of Taisus. I know Taisus. I know the Mordechai. He brought it down. He says, so we don't know where he traveled, where he saw. We know that he's in Italy, and he's claiming that we don't let them. So it's not pshat that he's coming and telling me he's Amoritz. He doesn't know about Taisus. He doesn't know about the Sugi. He doesn't know about the Rai. He doesn't know about the Mordechai. He doesn't know about the Baruch. He doesn't know about that. He knows about it. He's telling you the facts on the ground. The facts on the ground is that they don't shecht. He never saw it. And therefore, Minig changes the halacha, which is fascinating. Now, one could claim, although the Ramah doesn't make a big deal and say this, but we know, again, the Ramah is very, very concerned about Minig, and the Ramah, that's why in his conclusion is like this Ugger in Shulchan Aruch, which you will not necessarily, this is a point that I meant to bring out earlier, when you learn Darkei Moshe, you don't see the Hachra of the Ramah, not like the Beis Yosef. He says, Taisus, he says, Mordechai, he says, the Rosh, he brings down the Ugger, and then he brings down the Beis Yosef. So the Stam, the Maskana, one would think, if you just had your Darkei Moshe, the complete Darkei Moshe, is that he agrees with the Beis Yosef, and he doesn't collect the Ugger. Although you might make a shtickle Torah and say, he would agree with the Ugger because of the Minig Avisani Torah, but he doesn't say that. He doesn't say, V'chein Noegin like the Ugger. But when you get to the Shulchan Aruch, he does Paskin like the Ugger. So something happened, and this is a problem that I don't have an answer to, I've found this many times, is that the Achra of a Darkei Moshe, or the information lining up from the data found in the Darkei Moshe, and when all of a sudden you'll see a complete different conclusion when it gets to the Shulchan Aruch, and what happened, we don't know. And the reason is because, this gets back to the story we said all the way in the beginning, when the Ramah, I said he was depressed, and he gets the whatever, sorry for using such language, but he says, I now see the Beis Yosef, and there's no point in my work, and then he decides he has to do it. He does not put out the original work. Sadly, we don't have it. It's not. We don't even know if it ever survived. And he puts out this Darkei Moshe, which I said is only published well after he dies. From this, work, as much as I tried and other people try, and I'm still trying, to try to put together what it is, how the Ramah works, it's a very, very tedious process. You have to sit with the Beis Yosef. You have to see when he's bringing, even when he brings down a Beis Yosef, if he's adding a little detail, which a lot of times he could. And therefore, we don't know. There's a step that took place over here. Although it makes sense to us that he's going to like the Ugger, because the Ugger is into Minig and the Ramah is into Minig. But why is that? What happened that he's sort of, if you just looked at the Darkei Moshe Aruch, you would not come to the conclusion that he comes to, which is like the Ugger, that women should not shecht. Now, obviously, there's a greater question is, forget about the Ramah for a second, is what happened, what's going on, that all of a sudden the Ugger tells you, women do not shecht, and all of a sudden, and as you said, and the Ugger says that, and the Beis Yosef says, what are you talking about? Women do shecht. So, there's a lot that needs to be clarified, and the point was just to focus on just the Ugger aspect, and Amir Tzashem, hopefully in future episodes, try to understand what happened for this, and we will see another Ugger that plays out right away in the beginning of the story of Shechita, soon how the Ramah versus the Beis Yosef go discuss this. Just one last point is the Ugger, even when you just open up the Ugger, and so one of the points that I'm want to take away from is the Agur is an important work that was on the table of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. And there's a wealth of information that needs to be checked, especially according to the Beis Yosef, but there's a wealth of information that can only be found here. But if you open up, just if you start reading the first few simanim of the Agur, you'll see he brings Arzaruas. Arzaruas was a very rare sefer until it was published. He brings you Marils. He brings you Psakim from his father, who I said was a Rav Shishiva of thousands of Talmidim. And so right away, one could see he brings a few different Psakim from his father. He brings Shibalei Aleketz and Hanhagas from his father. So just in the first five, six Simanim and Hilchas Tefillah, right away you could see the value of this work that the Beis Yosef is not saying be careful from. Okay, that's all for today. One clarification to something that I said earlier on in this episode, when I was talking about the Ramah versus the Beis Yosef in his usage of the Agur, so I claimed that Ramah mentions the Agur in the introduction of his Chibur Darkei Moshe when he lists other works that are important to him. He does not. The issue is very simple. I relied on my memory. He does not quote him in his list. He uses him a lot throughout the Svarim. Throughout the Darkei Moshe, if one searches through the Darkei Moshe, you'll see he does it a lot. He does use the Agur, but he does not include him in the list that I said. The moral of the story is, I relied on my memory, and one should not. There's a famous line, Isiyos Machkimiyos, you have to check up things inside. And as this shir is a shir that sometimes things pop into my head, so I rely on my memory. And sometimes, if afterwards I listen to it and I see that I made a mistake or something, I will try to correct it. As I mentioned, this is a learning experience, especially for myself, so I apologize for that. But the bottom line is true, is that the Ramah uses the Agur, especially for one of the reasons it's clear, is because the Agur has information of the Maril, which is very important for the Ramah. The Ramah has other sources for the Maril, but this is one of his sources for the Maril. So bottom line is, the Agur is very important for the Ramah.